Well, for this one, I don't want to have my regular intro because in many ways, this show is an attempt at being honest and authentic with myself in a way that perhaps some of the jingles and funny hat perhaps mask in me. An attempt at unmasking my own blocks to love and yet to reveal the deep amount of love that I have for you, for others, and I think that we all have for each other, for humanity. And yet it seems like somewhere along the way, we have lost our way as a society. And I see that because of the conflict in politics, in world, maybe in globalization, as well as in the local church. And I think most of all, just in my own heart. Now, I must confess from the beginning that I'm not really a love expert. I feel that in my heart, there's more of a tension or of a paradox that I want between wanting to love and wanting to not love. And maybe that tension is the honesty of this tension. Is that all of us want to love our families and love our church and love God. And yet with our very mouth, very much like James says, we then speak evil of our neighbor, speak evil of God, or want to consume alcohol, sex, or food, whatever your addiction might be. Shopping, eating, whatever, control, details, whatever your addiction might be. When I went through my anxiety disorder back in about 10 years ago, at the height of it, I was invited, providentially, to lead worship for a AA meeting, Alcoholic Anonymous meeting, that in the Christian world, we call it Celebrate Recovery. So you might want to look that up. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Ironically, 10 years prior to that, I had been invited to also do something similar. And because of my pride and ego, I thought, that's too beneath me. Now, I'm not an AA person. I've never dealt with alcohol addiction. I have my own set of addictions. But I was there to lead worship and to help with music. And yet, from the start, I felt like God was in it. Week after week, we'd have hundreds of people, mostly that were men and women dealing with serious alcoholic addictions, some of them that were actually my friends that I hadn't seen in years from high school and early college years. I remember people coming up to me and saying, "Trig, is that you?" And me feeling love more than anything. Now, maybe because of my conservative background, being there often felt to me like a secret society. Like, I hope I don't run into anyone. I hope people don't get the wrong idea that I'm somehow broken. I mean, hey, I'm just here to help, right? But quickly, I realized that I was them. They are me. We are one. There were no divisions. And I began to especially deal with my anxiety disorder while being there, as well as I said, a few other things that came to mind. I was there for maybe 6 months to a year, doing leading worship every week. And it taught me so much to the point that when I left, I thought, this is the way forward. Like, church needs to be this way every week on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Of course, since then, I have not done anything like that again. And if anything, I feel more like I'm back being the addicted person. I'm back to my addictions of anger and hate and control and ego and fame and fortune and glory. The self, the ego, Paul calls it the flesh, all of these same things, the false self, the shadow self, whatever you want to call it, it's the same thing that we're dealing with. I would say primarily I'm an egomaniac. My main form of addiction is the self, the ego, and that has expressed itself in many ways through the years since my childhood all the way till now. But I'm learning a new way. And especially the more that I dive deep into the presence of God, into letting the Word of God and the Spirit of God actually change me from the inside out, I realize how much help I need. I really should be, and I think that maybe this is the invitation. I think all of us collectively as a race, as humans, we should all be in a recovery program for whatever that may mean. Now, as Russell Brand, one of the guys that I've been listening to a lot, he talks about in his book called Addiction, that his addiction from alcohol and drugs, and I guess perhaps sexual addiction as well, and food, is really a reflection just of the pain that's inside of us. And that really hit me, because when I think of what drives my ego or what drives maybe our collective addictions, it always goes back to pain. The pain that I am recovering from is the pain of loneliness, the pain of being raised without my family, without a father and mother, especially my father, because as a male, you want that male figure to teach you things about sexuality, work, career, education, ego, humility, love, service. And I saw these things in my father, and he wrote me letters extensively for 20 years that we were apart until the day when I did his eulogy when he was 57. But not having that male figure, as well as that family unit of my mom and dad and two sisters, was my pain. And so then, since then, and plus add on top of that just the way I am, my great things and the other not so great things, I began to pursue ego and success. And then you throw in there my Enneagram 3, which meaning it's just my personality type. I'm an INFJ Enneagram 3, which is the achiever, which is the, it's just kind of it's basically an addictive behavior that is natural to me, especially when it comes to, as I said, success, ego. And that expresses itself in many ways. So as I deal with the pain of that, and as I ask Jesus to, quote, come into my heart every day, I continue to be faced with the need for change. And so I think the need for change in me is first to stop blaming others, is to stop blaming other people, or to look at other people's situations as worse than mine or as a real task before me, and really to understand that the task is me, that as every behaviorist or any passage in scripture would tell you, that the change has to happen in us. Self-awareness is now what it's called in the marketing or business world. But the point is the same. It's all about realizing that we are that problem. You know, the problem is me. I preached a message on this on Sunday, how the problem isn't spiritual immaturity. The problem isn't serving others or not. The problem is a lack of self-awareness. And the answer is to look at the life of Jesus. He was the ultimate servant in that he gave himself for others, that he became nothing for the sake of others. And that is the journey downward, as my friend Kathy says. It's the downward spiral, or as many of the spiritual saints would say, the inward journey. Multnomah, I believe, said that. Or the downward spiral journey, or as my friend Kathy, her book is actually called Down We Go. And so this journey downward is antithetical to who I am and to who American society is and to who you and I are. We only want more money, more sex, more toys, better jobs, more money, a bigger house, a better girlfriend, a bigger church, a more successful family, better kids that go to better schools, and nicer shoes and nicer dresses that fit better on our better bodies. That is the American dream. That is, and now as American politics and socioeconomics and capitalism has spread all over the world and matured over and over again, if you want to call it maturity, then this is pervasive. This is what's normal, whether you go to Russia or you go to El Salvador, or you go to Nigeria, wherever you go, this is the way forward. And yet the power of God and love is fighting against that daily. I wish I was more eloquent in this topic, but I think that the honesty is that I am just beginning this journey out of this addictive behavior of ego and of self. And obviously, this is a journey for the rest of my life, and I do wish I was further along, but I guess just the fact that I continue to pursue humility is a step forward. And I guess my invitation, or the purpose of this episode, is to invite you, is to give you space through my own story to pursue humility. I have no idea if you are an addictive type. You may not think of it in terms of addictive behavior. You might think that your behavior is either holy or churchy or righteous, or maybe you do know that you have some porn addiction, food addiction, sexual behavior, or control, maybe addiction that you've either already begun the journey on, and I congratulate you for that, or, which I think is at least maybe my experience, you have more layers of this to go, or there are more layers to this, which is, I think it's the joy and the sacrifice of it all. But I invite you to pursue your own health. I think that one of the things that I never experienced this myself, and I wish I had, is at the end of these Celebrate Recovery meetings, the whole group of 100 plus people were invited into small groups. I never went. I led worship and left. Looking back, I wish I had gone. I wish I had gone, because recovery isn't just listening or a one-on-one thing. It's a group thing. It's the healing happens with God, with others, and by supporting each other, because the vulnerability of admitting that, yes, I'm also an addict is freeing in and of itself. The only experience I've had with groups personally was me taking someone to a Narcotic Anonymous meeting. I remember I went to a church with a young friend of mine who was dealing with addictive behaviors with narcotics and drugs, and we went and we sat in the meeting, and it was freeing. I mean, I felt at home. I felt like this is amazing. The vulnerability, the confession, how normal these things are, all that secrecy gone. And of course, you have a leader and you have all these mechanisms and sponsors and things. And I remember even signing up, now that I think of it, it's been a few years, to have a sponsor, I believe. And so I think we did have conversations, someone and I, about, especially when it comes to, as I said, ego, and maybe it was back then about anxiety as well. I don't deal with sexual behavior or addiction or food or any of these things or porn, but as I've said, my addictions are the ego, the self, and then maybe even fear, worry. I think that there should be a group for anxiety addiction, because I think that sometimes that can be a problem as well. I invite you to continue your journey. Maybe some of the people that listen to me are younger, perhaps you're my age or older. It really doesn't matter. This is an open invitation to humanity to pursue joy, peace, gozo, as we call it here, to pursue peace. And of course, with Christ, with that higher power, with God as your anchor, but also with community, with other people. And is it tiring? Of course. Is it exhausting to listen or to talk about your life? Or, I mean, older generations, I know my mom, she doesn't like talking about her life, you know, in these terms. And so maybe you need to just first talk to God, or maybe you want to talk to me, or to just a friend or a mom, a relative, just one-on-one. And then as you get more comfortable to then not just teach the class, but to actually be one of the members of a class and share your story and help others, and most of all, let others help you. With that said, I thank you guys for listening. I thank you for this space. Please shoot me an email, trick@davidtrick.com, and let me know if this relates to you, if this is something that you identify in your life, and hopefully we can just continue down this path in our society and our culture towards healing, towards love, towards oneness, towards humility, towards, obviously, as Jesus says, towards love. Thank you again. I will see you next time.